Welcome, everybody, to this second audio regarding Paul's conversion, an anticipation of the restoration of Israel, a contributing picture to the dispensational setting of the Acts period. Paul was a Jew who was withstanding God. A light from heaven and a voice were instrumental in converting and saving him. Paul was struck partially blind. Paul did things ignorantly in unbelief and obtained mercy. Paul's conversion, coupled with the miracle at the top of Acts 13, together paint a glorious anticipation of Israel's restoration, which was in view in the Acts period. Let us return to our survey of Acts 13 and the gospel of the kingdom proclaimed there by the Apostle Paul. At the top of Acts 13, a Jew is partially blinded only for a season, needing someone to lead him by the hand, and a Gentile is saved. At the bottom of the chapter, we have the nation of Israel withstanding and rejecting the message, and Gentiles are saved. We need to ask ourselves the question, if Paul was partially blinded, acting ignorantly and in unbelief, but was saved, would it automatically mean that just because the Jews, the majority of them, are rejecting the message, does this mean they are lost forever and God is introducing something new? Let us examine the warning that Paul gives them in verse 40, one of the differences between Peter and Paul's gospel. Beware, therefore, lest that come upon you, which is spoken of in the prophets. Behold, you despisers and wonders, and perish, for I work a work in your days, a work which ye shall in no wise believe, though a man declare it to you. Paul is quoting the prophet Habakkuk. As we know, in Acts 26:22, his entire Acts period ministry was none other things than Moses and the prophets said was going to come. So what was Habakkuk speaking about when he said, "Behold, you despisers and wonders"? Well, it's fascinating that Habakkuk 1:5, which Paul quotes, says, "Behold, you among the heathen," which is exactly where Paul was preaching to the Jews. And Habakkuk 6 speaks about the Chaldeans, a bitter and hasty nation, which shall march through the breadth of the land to possess the dwelling places that are not theirs. Habakkuk is warning Israel about a northern army. Now, it may have been partially fulfilled in the past, but Habakkuk, Paul uses to warn Israel about the coming northern army, the great tribulation that was about to fall on them. The listener should consider Acts 14:22 and read 1 Corinthians 7 in the light of this fast approaching present distress. Does this tribulation mean that Israel won't be saved? Not at all. Let's go to Jeremiah. Jeremiah 30:7 and 8 says this, "Alas, for that day is great, so that none is like it. It is even the time of Jacob's trouble, but he shall be saved out of it. For it shall come to pass in that day, saith the Lord of hosts, that I will break his yoke from off thy neck, and will burst thy bonds, and strangers shall no more serve themselves of him." The Lord refers to this in Matthew 24:21, a time of great tribulation. But this doesn't mean that Israel are going to be cut off. It means they're going to be saved through this great purging. The listener should consider Matthew 24:29-31. Paul was saved. There was a light blazing forth and a voice. And after the tribulation, the nation of Israel, what's left of it, will see Christ in blazing light and they will hear a voice. Oh, the tribulation was going to come and will come, but there was a way out of it. Not the traditional rapture, but the great remnant that Joel and Isaiah and Hosea spoke about. And don't forget in Joel chapter 2, where whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved, was the prophet appealing to Israel to turn to God during the ravaging of the northern army. Even now turn to me, says the Lord, in the tribulation, and I will turn to you. And those days could have been shortened even more. This was Paul's heartfelt desire for his brethren according to the flesh, the Israelites. Paul wanted his fellow Israelites to repent and become part of this remnant that would be preserved through the tribulation and be saved in spite of the tribulation, rather for his brethren not to repent and to endure the tribulation and be saved at the end of the tribulation. Paul is preaching the gospel of the kingdom during the book of Acts, calling upon Israel to repent and turn to the Lord. Now, in the bottom of Acts chapter 13, returning to our theme that when a Jew was partially blinded at the top of the chapter, a Gentile was saved. At the bottom of the chapter, the Jews don't listen. They are provoked to jealousy by the crowds, but they're partially blinded and they reject the message. And Paul turns to the Gentiles. What is his authority to turn to the Gentiles? Well, he tells us what his authority is and where it is based. And when we read that authority, which is prophecy, we find the purpose for the Gentiles to be saved. We notice in verse 47 of Acts 13 that Paul was commanded to turn to the Gentiles. This is not according to the revelation of the mystery of Ephesians chapter 3. It's a command, saying, I have set you to be a light of the nations, for salvation to the end of the earth. And this is a quote from Isaiah 49, verse 6, and we shall read the prophet. Isaiah 49, verse 6 opens like this. And he said, it is but a little thing that you should be my servant to raise up the tribes of Jacob and to bring back the preserved ones of Israel. Wow! In this way, Paul takes the prophet Isaiah and by inspiration of the Holy Spirit uses or has been commanded to use it in the matter of the Gentiles being those who were God's servants to raise up the tribes of Jacob and bring back the preserved ones of Israel. This has nothing to do with the church, which is his body. Verse 7 of Isaiah 49 says, so says the Lord, the Redeemer of Israel. Oh, this is all about the restoration of Israel and their redemption. Oh, I see. Verse 8, so says the Lord, in a favorable time I replied to you, in a day of salvation I have helped you, and I will preserve you and give you for a covenant to the people to establish the earth to cause them, i.e. Israel, to inherit the wasted inheritances. The Gentiles of Acts 13 were God's instruments to provoke and restore Israel. Yes, Paul was a Jew partially blinded, but it was an act of mercy and he was saved. Bar-Jesus was a Jew withstanding the word of the Lord. But he was struck with partial blindness, and it's an act of mercy, in order that he can be saved. A picture of the nation. At the same time the Jew is partially blinded, a Gentile is saved. And his salvation, i.e. the Gentile's salvation, is according to the command of Isaiah 49, to restore Israel. All of these things are about the preservation and restoration and salvation of Israel. Let's go to the book of Romans to bring these things together in the writing of the Apostle Paul in the last letter written in the Acts period. We pick up our theme from Romans 10 verse 12, where Paul says there is no difference both of Jew and of Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich to all who call on him. This no difference does not constitute Ephesians' truth. For Paul quotes Joel, verse 13, "For everyone, whoever, shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved." And that is Paul quoting Joel, just as Peter did in Acts chapter 2. The quote from Joel is about the remnant. Paul has already outlined specifically the remnant, i.e. believing Jews and Gentiles of that time, in chapter 9 of this letter. It's going to occur again very shortly. However, coming down to the bottom of chapter 10, Paul says this, "But to Israel he says, all day long I have stretched forth my hands to a disobedient and gainsaying people." That's another quote from Isaiah. In chapter 11, in verses 1 and 2, Paul asks the question, "Did God put away his people?" Of course not. Paul then refers to Elijah, who thinks he's the only one not responding. But the Lord calls to Elijah and says, "I have reserved to myself 7,000 who have not bowed the knee to Baal." Verse 4. And in verse 5 and 6 of Romans 11, Paul says, "Even at this present time, a remnant, according to the election of grace, and the prophecies of Isaiah, Hosea, and Joel has come into being." And of course, if it is an election by grace, then it is no more works, just as righteousness by faith is not by works. Verse 7. "What then," says Paul, "Israel has not obtained that which it seeks, but the election obtained it, and the rest were hardened, blinded." And then Paul gives a number of references to show this Isaiah 6 partial blindness that's upon the nation as a whole. In Romans 11 verse 8, we have references to Isaiah 29 verse 10 and Isaiah 6. In Romans 11, 9, Paul quotes David out of Psalm 69, 22 and 23. And in Romans 11, 10, we have another reference to their eyes being darkened, just as Paul's were, just as Bar-Jesus' eyes were darkened, and they needed someone to lead them by the hand. And then we come to this great statement in verse 11 of Romans chapter 11. The full impact of Romans 11:11 will be lost if I haven't been following Paul's theme, which he really started back in chapter 3. But here is Romans 11 verse 11. This is the International Standard Version. "And so I ask, they have not stumbled so as to fall, have they? Of course not. On the contrary, because of their stumbling, salvation has come to the Gentiles to make the Jews jealous. Israel, like Paul and Bar-Jesus, are partially blind, and they're stumbling. But the stumbling is not to cut them off and to introduce some new calling. Not at all. Just as it was an act of mercy for Paul, so it was an act of mercy for Bar-Jesus and the nation. Let's go back to chapter 3. In Romans chapter 3, verse 1 and 2, Paul asks the question, what advantage has the Jew? Oh, well, there's lots of advantages. He notes some of them in chapter 9. So his next question is about Israel as well, in verse 3. What if some of them, the Jews, were not believing? Does their lack of faith cancel God's faithfulness? I paraphrased. And Paul's answer is, of course not. Just because Israel isn't believing doesn't mean that God's purposes for them have changed. What did Paul say about himself? He said in 1 Timothy chapter 1, he obtained mercy because he did things ignorantly and what? In unbelief. Paul was a representation of the nation of Israel. Paul was saved through mercy, despite the fact that he was a man in unbelief. So, do you think just because Israel as a nation is also in unbelief, that means God's going to cast them away? That's the very question of Romans chapter 3, and the negative answer, absolutely not, because God's faithfulness is not affected by Israel's faithlessness. Let's draw a parallel. Do you think every Christian as a member of the church, which is his body, is going to negate God's purpose for the church, which is his body, just because they are unfaithful and they don't even know the dispensation of the grace of God? The answer is equally no. God is faithful and brings his purposes to a glorious conclusion, despite what his children do. Let us see this fact brought out by Paul in Romans chapter 11. For in Romans 11:29, the glorious confident assertion is made. The free gifts and calling of God are without change of mind. Paul has repeated his question of Romans 3 in Romans chapter 9, verse 6. Not that the word of God has failed, says Paul, in the matter of Israel. And down in verse 16 he says, look, it is not the one willing, nor the one running, but of God, the one showing mercy. Ah, Paul received mercy. Israel as a nation had received mercy because God's purposes for them had not changed just because they were not repenting and believing. Let's go back to Romans 11. We have seen in Romans 11:11 that Israel was stumbling, but not to fall. But because of their stumbling, salvation had come to the Gentiles to provoke them to jealousy. Remember Isaiah 49, Paul's authority to preach to Gentiles? It was to bring back the preserved of Israel, restore Jacob. Just because Paul was commissioned to go to the Gentiles in the Acts period doesn't mean he was introducing the revelation of the mystery of Ephesians. The Bible tells us clearly that Paul's commission to include the Gentiles was to provoke and bring about the restoration of Israel. How dispensationally opposite is that? Look at Romans 11, verse 12. If their stumbling is the riches of the world, Paul goes on to say, how much more their fullness. Paul is anticipating their great salvation. In verse 13, Paul even magnifies his own apostleship to provoke Israel to jealousy. And look at verse 15. For if their casting away or pushing aside, it's not permanent as verse 1 and 2 shows, is the reconciling of the world, what is the reception except life from the dead for the nation of Israel? Oh yes, Paul had stated earlier, just because they were non-believing, that didn't cancel God's faithfulness. Look at verses 16 and 17 of Romans 11. If the first fruit is holy, the first fruit, the believers, that remnant, if they're holy, the lump, find the lump in Romans 9:21, the lump is also holy. And if the root is holy, so are the branches that have been broken off. In view of this holiness of Israel, and the national salvation in view, Paul goes through these central verses of Romans 11, referring to the olive tree and the stimulation that a wild branch provides it, the Gentiles to provoke Israel to salvation. Wild branches grafted in to provoke the olive tree to fruit. But we come down to verse 25. Paul now enlightens the Roman readers to this great mystery of partial blindness that's on the nation. For I do not want you to be ignorant of this mystery, brothers, lest you should be wise within yourselves, that blindness in part has happened to Israel until the fullness of the nations has come in. We have already mentioned tribulation, and the Antichrist in the middle of the last week breaks his covenant and starts persecuting the children of Israel, the great tribulation. That's all linked with Nebuchadnezzar's vision as recorded in Daniel. Let's come to Romans 11:26. And so all Israel shall be saved. Just as Paul was saved with partial blindness. He stumbled. He needed someone to lead him by a hand. He was saved. He had received mercy as the worst of sinners. Paul did things ignorantly and in unbelief. Paul goes on to say in Romans 11:26, "For there shall come out of Zion the deliverer, and he will turn away ungodliness from Jacob." Israel trying to get their own righteousness through works, all that was going to be turned away when the deliverer came out of Zion. How was he going to come out of Zion? He was going to descend in light and with a voice. Those elements that featured in Paul's conversion are the very same elements that feature in Israel's conversion ultimately, when after the tribulation the Lord descends in light and with a voice and the shout of the archangel, and he gathers Israel. And they, like Joseph's brethren, look upon the one they rejected, as Zechariah says, the one they have pierced. And like Joseph's brethren, with the spirit of grace and supplication upon them, they seek forgiveness. Nationally, Israel is forgiven in that day. Israel is saved under the basis of the new covenant as found in Romans 11, verse 27. No wonder Paul, in 2 Corinthians chapter 3, was a minister of this new covenant, for that was in view at this wonderful salvation of the nation of Israel. In verse 28 of Romans 11, Paul says, yes, as regards the gospel, they are enemies for your sakes. "You Gentiles, you're being saved because Israel is an enemy of the gospel. They're stumbling, but not to fall. And because of their stumbling, you have obtained mercy. But regards the election of Romans 9, through Isaac, they are beloved for the Father's sakes." And verse 29, "The free gifts and calling of God are without change of mind, whether Israel repents or not." In verse 30, "For as you Gentiles also then disbelieved God, but now have been shown mercy through their lack of faith, even so, these Jews also have not believed now, so that through your mercy, your stimulation, your provocation, they may also obtain mercy." Verse 32, "For God has shut up all unbelieving Israel in unbelief, so that he might show mercy to all." Can we see this great theme running through this dispensational elements of Romans? Can we see the parallel in Paul's conversion? He obtained mercy when he was partially blinded. Israel nationally has obtained mercy during their partial blindness in the Acts period. And the Gentiles were there to provoke and bring about the great restoration. As Isaiah 49:6 says, "The preserved ones of Israel, to bring them back, to raise up the tribes of Jacob." Romans chapter 11 concludes with a wonderful doxology of praise to God for this purpose which hasn't failed despite Israel's stiff-necked and uncircumcised in heart attitude. In Romans chapter 9 verse 3, Paul says, "I myself was wishing to be accursed from Christ for my kinsmen according to the flesh who are Israelites. But now he has received this great mystery about Israel's partial blindness. And having explained the setting of the Acts period, he bursts out in Romans chapter 11 with praise to God. He says in verse 33, "Oh, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and the knowledge of God. How unsearchable are his judgments, and his ways past finding out. For who has known the mind of the Lord, or who became his counselor? Who first gave to him, and it will be repaid to him? For of him, and through him, and to him are all things. To him be glory for ever. Amen." And do you know, in this wonderful, incredible doxology, that the Apostle Paul quotes Isaiah chapter 40. Paul, in this doxology, refers to Isaiah 40. We find Isaiah 40 in Romans 11:34. And Isaiah 40 is a great prophecy about the restoration and establishment of the nation of Israel. Paul's doxology in Romans 11 isn't any doxology that anticipates any change in God's purposes. Let us sum up all that we've looked at. Paul was partially blind, a light, a voice from heaven. Paul received mercy. He was saved. Paul's commission was to the children of Israel and Gentiles. Those Gentiles Paul reached were to stimulate the olive tree, to provoke Israel to jealousy and bring back the preserved of Israel. These Gentiles were saved, and just like Paul, it was an act of mercy. They were saved so that Israel would be saved. Israel were partially blinded, just like Paul. But it was an act of mercy. It was an act of mercy from God on his people who were unrepentant. But their lack of repentance would not invalidate or cancel or alter God's purposes. All of these things tell us that the Acts period, its objective was the salvation of Israel. Let us turn to Isaiah 40, the great doxology of Paul in Romans chapter 11. And we start in Isaiah 40, verse 9. Go up for yourself on the high mountain, bringer of good tidings to Zion. Lift up your voice with strength, O you who bring good tidings to Jerusalem. Lift up, do not be afraid. Say to the cities of Judah, behold your God. Verse 10, behold, the Lord comes in light and with a voice. That's not in verse 10, I just threw that in. He will come with a strong hand, and his arm shall rule for him. Behold, his reward is with him, and his work before him. He shall feed his flock like a shepherd. He shall gather the lambs with his arm, and carry them in his bosom, and shall gently lead those with young. Who has measured the waters in the hollow of his hand, and measured out the heavens with a span? And who has shut up the dust of the earth in a measure, and weighed the mountains in scales, and the hills in a balance? Who has directed the Spirit of the Lord, and what man taught him counsel? Ah, yes, Paul turns to this prophecy with the great restoration of Israel in view, when the Lord will come out of Zion, the deliverer. He will lead and feed his flock like a shepherd. Romans is not and has never been about the church which is his body. The truth given after Israel were eventually put aside for a season at Acts 28. Romans must be understood in the prophecy of Isaiah, not the hidden dispensation of the mystery which was given to Paul after Israel was set aside when their purposes were postponed at Acts 28. God bless you for listening. May these audios be an inspiration to my listener to test things that differ, especially in the Apostle Paul.